Good morning. So glad you're here this morning. If this is your first time here, welcome. We're glad you're here. My name is Ben Alexander. I'm the pastor here. I am so happy to have this privilege to be the pastor here and to just be in God's house this morning. And what makes God's house is not the building, not the brick and mortar. It is us being together, right? And worshiping Him together. I'm excited about that. We're on our 15th Sunday of Branded. Just kidding. We're done with Branded. All right. I've decided we're going to do one that, you know, is kind of out of the box. We're going to do one about having gratitude during this season. Really crazy, right? Okay, we're not awake. All right. We'll get there. All right. This Sunday, we're talking about our attitude of gratitude, right? And really, it's going to be how this idea of being realigned, readjusted, realigned to make us in line with God and understanding that, right? As I was preparing this message, I was driving my Jeep, and I love my Jeep, all right? Maybe I should say it better. I like my Jeep. I don't love my Jeep. It's a piece. It's just a metal box. I know it, and it looks like a roller skate on wheels, right? Right? I love it though. Let me explain a couple things about my Jeep. Why I like it. First off, the newer cars, they're kind of obnoxious. If you try to get out of a lane, it has this new function where it'll just bump you back into the lane like you were falling asleep at the wheel. I don't like that, right? It's taking away some of my freedom. If I wanted to be in that other lane, I wanted to be in that other lane, whether it was an accident or not, all right? If I want to go off-roading for some reason, and that's why I like the Jeep, it looks like I meant to be a bad driver, all right? You can go off-road and like, oh, that's a Jeep person. I'm telling you our secrets of Jeep people, all right? We're really just undercover bad drivers, and we just go over curves and like, oh, it's Jeeping, all right? Now, a secret about me, it's not a deep, dark secret. It's when I was in college, I worked at Sears Automotive Center, and I started off as a salesman. I was not good as a salesman. I didn't want to sell people tires or brakes because they didn't want to pay the prices that I kept telling them. And there was no changing those prices. It just wasn't it. And I was like, I'm starting to really not like people. All right, and in that time, I'm going to college to become a pastor. Those two things don't go hand in hand to not like people anymore, right? So I went and talked to management, and I decided, hey, is there another job I can do? And they're like, hey, you want to be a mechanic? You want to go back in the garage? And I said, yes. I had never worked on a car before. They just put me back there. All right, now I see a mechanic going, oh, you're the reason we've got a bad name, right? I see, seriously, seeing Sean's face going, oh, how many cars did you mess up, all right? Now they trained me. Did I hear all of them? All right, I heard that in the back row. I got it, all right? Now they trained me. I did things. In fact, they trained me so extensively because right before I got hired in the back, they had somebody, they sent out a truck with all four tires on, and it came back missing a tire. They didn't zip the lugs on, and the guy was going to 60 miles per hour, and all of a sudden his tire decided to go a different way, and his truck decided to go this way, and it was damaged. And his tire went through a Lexus shop. Totaled a couple cars with that tire. Going 60 miles per hour, you don't want to be in the front of it, all right? So a lot of training was going on. One of the things that I never did wrong was I always remembered every lug has to be to a point that it's torqued. My problem is I would routinely, because of this training, be scared enough that I'd over-torque them. And those tires, when they came back, were not fun to get those tires off because they were over-torqued. And I would always go, oh, that must have been Jimmy that had that car last time. Well, I was still getting saved, all right? I was in college. God was still working on my heart, all right? But one of the things that you do in as a mechanic is a realignment. And right now with my Jeep, I could probably use a realignment. And what that means is when your steering wheel is going this way and you're going straight, there's a problem. All right? Now, in my mind, I'm like, eh, anybody else got those problems? Where you're, like, your steering wheel is just not quite, right there? Okay. Okay, just to let you know, you're not a mechanic's friend the longer you wait. Because there's issues with this. The longer you wait, your tires get worn out completely in a bad way to a point when you take those tires off, steel is poking out of it. This is where I learned that tires have steel in them. I didn't know these things. And I worked without gloves. And when you take the tire off with the steel showing, it's like 1,000 pokes. And they just stab you. And you say things that you go, okay, I need to go and repent. And you just are like, ah, right? Now, I was always coming home really, really dirty, just messy. But like within this job, it's just like the longer you wait within the alignment process, it just gets more worse for your car. All right? This morning, we're going to talk about this with our attitudes. And when they are offline, and the longer they're offline, the more damage it can cause. Those around you, those with you, and especially your own heart. All right? And so we're going to talk about that, especially with the mindset of coming up. And Thursday is Thanksgiving, and a lot of people get with family, get with friends, and you have Thanksgiving meal. And if your attitude is not realigned, Thanksgiving can be one of those shows that you're like, I regret everything that happened here this morning, right? Let me ask you this. As you go into Thanksgiving, and some of you can't say it because you got family here, all right? But you wake up and you're like, all right, Lord, help me. May I not say something? May that person not say something? May my attitude be one where it's peaceful. Anybody praying that on Thursday? All right, I see a couple hands. All right, good deal. Those of the rest of you are lying. All right? Okay. But Thanksgiving is supposed to be a really great time, and as a kid, I had no doubt that it was going to be a lot of fun. I was going to eat. My son is already looking forward to all the rolls that mom has already bought, and like half of those, he's already said, those are mine, right? Yeah, maybe two-thirds, right? We're lucky to get one roll. So that's already the fight. Have a lot of food, watch some football, play games, right? For some reason, as an adult, we kind of lose that somewhat. And I'm going to talk about what James kind of pinpoints, all right, and what it looks like to have a realignment. And one of the things I'm going to talk about is, are you prone to have a temper? Meaning, for instance, this morning you leave from church, like it's a great service because you had a great pastor giving a great sermon, because you had a great guest speaker, all right, let's be real, all right? And you're like, okay, God's changed me, I'm all good, I'm going to love people the way that he loves me, and you pull out, and somebody runs a red light, and you almost take them out. And like, whoa! You know, like, you lose all your salvation in that moment. Anybody with me? All right, so we got a couple of you. Yeah, again, you guys are liars this morning. All right? Maybe we need to preach about lying. I don't know. Anyway. Maybe it's something, you know what sets you off, right? If I can't, like, who knows your buttons the best is probably your spouse, your loved ones, your parents, right? And your kids, they know your buttons. And when I say about your buttons, like, they know, hey, if I push this right here and continue to push it and continue to push it, woo, they're going to explode. Anybody got those buttons? How many times does it take to explode? Two? All right. If we're on one, we've got a serious problem this morning, all right? If we're on none, you're just ready to go. If you woke up and you're like, I'm ready to punch somebody today, let's do it. I'm going to tell you, some of us have been there. There's been mornings that I know I've woken up, all right, first one to say something, let's go, I'm ready. Had a bad board meeting, let's just go, right? And it's kind of exciting to live in that. It's almost more easy to live in that. Like, you laugh, but it is, because it fuels us. We have a passion with it. Like, go ahead, say it. I'll post a thing on Facebook. test me today, dot, dot, dot. Right? Anybody? Everybody? No? Okay, just me. That's why I've been banned from Facebook. All right? Not by Facebook, my wife. Right? But living in that, like, it's just easy to live that. Like, you, if you're prone to this, I want to show you what James says. He says this. Hold on, let me go. I messed up. All right. I'm already angry. All right? Can we go to the verse of James and then go back to this? You're awesome if you can do it. I'm going to be upset if you can't. I'm learning. I'm right there with you. I don't know. Yeah, the James. There we go. Oh, that's Mark. Okay, I'm getting upset. All right, we'll get there. We'll get there. James, that's Mark still. Oh, no. All right, I got it here. James 1, 19 through 20. Whew, I'm slow today. Sorry. Bear with me. James 1, 19 through 20 says this. Be quick to listen. Right? Slow to anger. Those two things go hand in hand, right? What I've noticed in relationships, in life, the moment that I'm quick with my words in response, I always tend to regret what comes out. But it also shows my heart of where I'm at. If I'm quick to listen and slow to anger, it doesn't say that you can't be angry. There is a righteousness to anger. But boy, we better be on the right side of that. The majority of the time, I would say we're not. If it's in defense of your own actions, if it's in defense of your own, of who you are, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not righteous. All right? If your first response to anything that's comes at you, and I will tell you, this is a hard thing because I have grown up in a way, like I think we do. When you come out, when somebody comes with an accusation, your mom lets you know, hey, you broke this. I can't believe you broke this. Why didn't you care? Why didn't you just spend more time of just taking care of this, right? And you're like, I didn't do it. My brother did. Now, I'm an only child. That excuse didn't work. All right? But within that mindset, it's easy to, like, go, all right, let's go at it. Let's have an argument. I want to defend myself. Instead of taking that moment and listening and really seeing what the heart of the issue is, it might not even pertain to you in the real outcome of it. It's just a hurt from the other person that you need to listen to. But I'm going to tell you what happens when you're prone to losing your temper, all right? There's health issues with this, all right? There's health issues when you bottle up temper, when you just explode, and this is crazy. This isn't just biblical. This is a medical field. This is a medical article that I've discovered that you Google search it, and it's right there. And these are some of the risks that come with when you're prone to just be angry, when your response is just anger, all right? You risk your heart, not in an emotional way, in a health way. You start to have heart issues when anger resides. Man, this is just crazy that this is such the number one first thing when it comes to anger. Because what do we associate our heart with? Not just like it beats and it gives life and blood flows. We think it's the heart of who we are, the soul of who we are, right? Imagine just anger residing in there. Do people want to just be with you? No. Right? They kind of withstand you. You make Thanksgiving not fun. Right? If I brought up politics, is your heart just right? First off, I'm going to tell you something. Biden and Trump don't care about you. Putting it out there. For you to lose relationships over two people that don't know you, don't care about you, yeah, they want your vote. But to lose relationships because of it? Is crazy. Not biblical. All right? So, risk your heart. That's one health. You risk a stroke. Like, these are great things. Weakness of the immune system. can make your anxiety worse. We already live in the most anxious culture ever. Where do you think some of that anxiousness stems from? You watch any news outlet, you watch any protest, there's anger just oozing out of people. And I want to tell you right now, righteous people can hide behind their righteousness and call that righteous anger really easily. But these are the things that will go with it. Linked to depression, can hurt your lungs. It's crazy. Our body is not meant to be prone to anger. Can shorten your life. When James talks about being quick to listen, let me open it up. Let me read it all. Let me find it first. Anybody got James open? No? Yes? Find it. If you got it, you want to read it? All right, James 1:19, right? All right. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to be angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. All right? Couple things within that verse that we need to talk about. When anger resides there, what doesn't reside in our heart? The word of God that's planted. I think it's a great recognition, especially during this time, if you can't be grateful for something, which we have, we didn't do it for our small group. We did a Thanksmas for our small group, and we played a lot of games. We did a white elephant gift exchange. We had a lot of fun in our small group, but we forgot one thing, right? And the next small group, when we get back together, I'm going to make them give a thanks for the year. What they're thankful for. If it takes you more than a minute, I would start to question what resides within there. Because it should be easy to be thankful. I don't care what situation you're in. It sounds harsh. Well, I've lost everything. So-and-so is dealing with cancer. My father hates me. Yes, these are all horrible things to reside in, but when we understand God through all those things, we can find joy in it. And we know that our God is bigger than those things. We might not feel it that way. We might not even recognize it in those moments, but I'm going to tell you, the more that we dive into knowing who God is and how God loves us and how God resides in our heart, those things that just hurt us, that weigh down on us, they don't have power over us. We're freed from them. We're not defined by them. You hear that? We are not defined by cancer. We are not defined by the hurt and the unforgiveness of others. We are not defined by broken relationships. What are we defined by? The redemption power within Jesus Christ. And so we approach those things with that joy. Right? So let's go to Mark. Mark talks about this. One of the teachers of the law came and heard him debating, noticing that Jesus had given them good answers. And he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Simply, with the being of who you are, love God. Love God, first and foremost. But it doesn't end there. There is a period. But without that, we cannot move on without saying this here. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. To love God is also to love myself and love my neighbor. So what I'm going to suggest today, as we learn to realign ourselves in a way of our attitude being grateful, is to start with this first question, if we get there. How are you loving God today? I think this is a very tough question for us because we are so used to this idea of God loving us. But what's the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. With my whole being. So what does it look like to love God? Daily. Moment by moment. And what I want you to figure out is there's got to be something that you can calculate, something that you can turn. Because it's not just a statement that's out there that goes, yeah, this is great. This is how I love God. All right. Yeah, I'm going to do that. But this is how God loves me. Can you imagine in a relationship where you're loving somebody, you get married to somebody, and the whole focus of that relationship is the other. And just showing that person love constantly and never receiving it back. You're going, hey, that's good, thank you. I appreciate your love. But there's nothing in return of showing the obedience and the adoration, the all of me back to you, that I love you. What does it look like for you to love God? I think it is a question that we can't just skip over. I think it's a question that is a commandment, that is the number one commandment, the one and true commandment. How do we love our God? Yes, we come on Sundays and we worship Him. We give Him our attention. We give Him our voice. We give Him the time to look in us and go, this is what I need from you. And go, okay, I will do that. I'm a good and faithful servant. But what does it look like beyond Sunday, beyond Wednesday, beyond your morning devotions, beyond those moments of just prayer? What does it look like for you to love God? I think a lot of us, some of the reason that we have temper issues or just our attitude is not good is we don't know how to love God. And we have grown accustomed to being out of line of our spiritual well-being because we just expect God to love us. I know growing up, you know, I talked with Harrison about this morning. It's crazy how God works, but how we are the church for the hospital. We are the church for the broken. We are the church for those who need God's love, right? We want to be that. But we don't sustain that. We don't live in that. When we recognize God has loved us and changed us and redeemed us, we don't just live in that brokenness. We focus on God and God restores us and we allow that restoring to happen. And we look different from that first day that we came into contact with God. Because we allow God to move in us, to change us. Right? Like we don't walk out of here crooked anymore. Like, I'm not just satisfied living a life going, okay, we'll just go down the road, and I'm like, this is straight. God wants to realign you in a way that you know how to handle the situations of life the godly way. And when we do those things, we start to love God so much more. We like, man, God, you are amazing. I hear your voice through some people. I hear your talent through people. Like, I see it, and I'm embracing it, and I want it. We don't walk out of this world going, oh, man, the ugliness is just ugly, 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 ugly. Right? The more that you're loving God, you start to see the blessings. You start to see the beautifulness of this world. You start to see how God is moving at people in Walmart. He does. Trust me, I've seen it. I would even implore that there is so much more good news being lived out than the bad news portrays. We just don't see it because we're not in love with God the way that we are called to love God. You understand? God is working. Do you believe it? Have you seen it? good. Continue to look for it. Continue to love God. Continue to be in adoration of God. Continue to be like, God, you are amazing. And I'm not trying to just live on this fantasy of, oh, life is perfect. No, I know it's not. But in this imperfectness, God is perfect. And his presence is real. And he restores. Once was broken, he restores. Man, that's amazing. Number one question for you this week. How do you love God? Second question. How are you loving yourself? For years and years, it is really easy for me to stand up here, and I've been told a couple times, and I've been told multiple times, not just by here, but when I speak, I have a tendency to put myself down. And the desire is to make you laugh. The desire is to go, okay, ha ha ha, I'm a goofball. And just to make it easy. And I've been told by multiple people, please stop. It's uncomfortable. And I will tell you, like, I am comfortable with who I am in my skin because I know who Jesus is in my life. All right? I know I've done things, I've said things, even today and tomorrow I've done things, and I'm like, oh man, I wish I didn't say that, I wish, and there have been moments that I won't get sleep at night because I just think about, oh, did I hurt that person's feelings? I was just trying to be funny. Oh, was it worth it? Like, I've made my mistakes, but I think it's so important to understand this part of the commandment, that I am called to love myself the way Jesus loves me. To forgive myself. To give myself a break. To understand I'm not perfect. And in situations I'm going to falter and I'm going to stumble. And in that stumbling and in that faltering, I find the grace and mercy of God. And it makes it a beautiful mess that he creates and then I get to be a part of. And I praise God for who he has made me today. And through his strength, I'm able to be kind, I'm able to be loving, I'm able to be what 1 Corinthians 13 says about love. Patient. Like, I talked about it a couple times. You know, people say, if you pray for patience, God's going to give you those people that are going to put in your life that you have to be patient. I'm going to tell you right now, you should be praying for it. It's not an excuse. Because really, it means you're loving yourself in a way that God has desired you to be. If you read 1 Corinthians 13 about love, that's what he desires out of you. And the more that you love yourself, you start to become kinder, gentler, patient, not envious, because you're loved. You're okay with where you're at. You're not playing the game, well, they have this, I wish I was that. There are people, I know, you could say I have a skill set to stand up here and speak in front of you and I'm good. I'm going to tell you right now, it takes a lot of prayer. All right? There are people in my life, I look at what they got and I go, man, I wish I had that skill set. I'm going to tell you right now, that is sin. God has made me the way I am. Now, it doesn't mean I get to reside in my imperfectness, but he has made me the way I am with my gifts to shine for him. And he's done the same thing for you. The more you understand that, the more it makes it to answer this question then. How are you loving others? Because before you can love others, you've got to learn how to love yourself. And this is a great indicator of both of them. If you are unable to love others, and others are everybody that you come in contact, even at Walmart, every mechanic shop, everywhere you go that you find frustration, even the doctor's waiting area that they make you wait 3 hours and you had an appointment 3 hours ago, praying for patience. You understand? Learning to love others first comes from understanding that you have to learn how to love yourself. When you learn to love yourself, you understand, okay, I'm good with who I am. I don't have to, like put a value system on me and you. I can step out in this world and just love people, and God's got it. I can be kind. I can be gentle because I'm kind and gentle to myself. You know, I think a lot of people don't respond very well because they don't like what they are. I think a lot of people are angry because they're angry with the situation that they find themselves in. And they put themselves there. And they're angry with themselves. I think a lot of people are angry with God because they think God has put them in that situation of their life situation. And really, it's just been our choices and we're just angry. When we answer these three questions, let's start again. How are you loving God? And just really think about as a quantitative goal, looking at your day when you lay your head down and go, how did I love God today? Because he deserves it. And for like the very first top of your list, before your wife, before your husband, before anybody, your kids, guess who deserves the most love in your life? God. And it's probably the most neglected relationship that we have. The next thing, how did I love myself? How do I accept what God has made me, forgive myself of certain things? Because I think we hold and harbor things against ourselves for a lifetime many times. And then guess what starts to build up? Anxiety and depression. Anxiousness of every action that we take, everything that we do, and we quantitative is like, again, I'm just a horrible human being, and I just, God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, and it wasn't a mistake. And he calls you. This is the greatest thing. This is awesome. This is what he got asked by people in the law. He got asked from people that have studied scripture, that understand the Old Testament, that a person that did the research, and it was a poignant question. What's the greatest commandment? To love God, to love others as yourself. We don't get out of those two things. Those are the two things. And when we do them, guess what? Everything else happens. We follow every other commandment. We don't need any other commandment when we live those two things out. It just happens. We have a commandment that thou shalt not murder. Well, if I'm loving God and I'm loving myself and I'm loving others, guess what I probably never do? I don't need that commandment to murder, right? I hope. I skipped something that day. But learning to love yourself, I think, is so key in this. Forgiving what you've led down to this path and going, man, if I just made a decision 20 years ago, life would have been so much better right now. Let it go. Life is good because God has you right now. And this, learning to love others. There's no caveats in this. Well, they got to follow the same politics of me, then I'll love them. They got to be Christians, and then I'll love them. You know, let me put it in another. They can't have the title X in front of their name because then I can't love them. These are tough things. And trust me, I've been in a family that I could go through the number, right? 6 step-parents of my life. And I can tell you, like, the interactions, and God calls us to love others. There's no caveat. Hello? I love you. All right? I think it is such a, this is great timing because the reality is this. I think setting an alarm on your phone one day, like during the day, a time where you can sit down and reflect would be a great object for you to sit down and ask these three questions. To put an alarm down intentionally, because don't we want to be intentional Christians? Don't we want to be intentional followers of Jesus Christ? You know, I think we come here and hope something big is going to happen every Sunday, right? I think God is waiting on Monday through Saturday going, I'm waiting for you to be part of this big something. And in that are these three questions. How are you going to love God, love yourself, and love others? And the more that we start recognizing it and participating in it, we draw closer to God, and the good news lives out of us. We become the gospel that God has created. You believe that? So my challenge is this, church. Stand with me. My challenge is this. This week, set an alarm. Maybe it's right before you go to bed. Maybe it's when you wake up. Maybe it's through the mid-afternoon that you need that time and go, okay, I've had enough of people. Let's take a moment, and I need to breathe in and go, God, how am I loving you today? God, how am I loving myself? God, how am I loving others? Set an alarm. Set some time during the day that you can ask these questions. And then I'm guessing by Thursday, if you've been doing this up to Thursday, you won't be able to stop giving thanks. You won't be able to stop going, man, God is so good. I saw somebody today, they were hurting, they were needing God, and he showed me how I could be used in this moment, and I got to give to them. And it was because of what God was doing in me. I noticed people that were hurting. I noticed people that were in need. I noticed people that need to be loved. Even the jerk behind me. I decided to pay for their meal. Like, I don't care. I just want them to know God loves them. Can you imagine waking up daily and going, I don't care how you treat me. I care that you know who God is in me. And when you mistreat me, I pray that I ooze out God's love, his patience, his kindness, his gentleness. I pray that that happens. And in those moments it doesn't, and I'm prone to be tempered, God, come in and control that. God, come in and wipe that out. God, help me love myself the way that you've called me to love myself. Church, you are called to pick up your cross daily and follow him. It's no game. You are called to do this. And in this is living out that first commandment, to love God, to love yourself, and to love others. Go be the church that God has called you this week. Happy Thanksgiving.